Well, I tell you, what an awesome God we serve. I appreciate you guys, again, coming out and going through all the treacherous rain and what have you to be here. I wasn't going to miss this morning. I told Pastor Jennifer, I said, I don't care what's going on outside. If I've got to, you know, get the webcam, I'm getting this word out today because I believe it's very, very needed right now and a very powerful word that I need to share with you. Heavenly Father, I ask now that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross in order that Jesus would get all the praise and the honor and the glory. I'm so glad for those that made it tonight, today, and for those that will listen tonight and later on during the week, this message, and our family that is watching now. I pray, Father God, for your anointing to cover me, the unction of the Holy Spirit, that you give me the words to say and the power and the boldness to declare it. Most of all, Father, will we have the fruit, the evidence, and the reward that goes back to you of salvation, of dedications, Father, rededications, and for closeness of a new walk with you, Father. I pray for change and great impact. Lord, I bless you this morning. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to saturate and fill this place and to lead us into all truth. In Jesus' awesome, mighty name, everybody say amen and amen. Again, I love you. I appreciate everybody that's a part of this ministry. I've been talking to a lot of people in the body of Christ the past couple of days, and just so grateful to hear of what God is doing in people's lives and to hear how this ministry is impacting many people. And we're so grateful for that because we know it's all God. Amen. It's not of our own doing. But I have a message this morning that I believe will be a very powerful message, as always, raw. As always, it will be something that is very pointed and will produce some changes and challenges in those who hear it. But what I'm looking for is change. I'm looking for people to be impacted by truth. You know, if you allow truth to penetrate the very reasoning of your mind and your conscience, you will find that you will walk in greater revelation and greater dominion than you ever have before. And I do want to say thank you to Pastor Jennifer, who spent time with me this weekend and made a podcast with me and together. And it's just been a while. And so if you haven't had a chance to listen to it, you should get on our website or YouTube and listen to the word that Pastor Jennifer had about deception. And deception is very rampant in America today and within the church. And so I want to thank Pastor Jennifer for that. Here's the word the Lord spoke to me. He said, America, you have taken the bait of Satan. Wrapped up in luxury and pride, this bait is poison to your soul. You have been fooled into believing a lie crafted in the mindset of the American dream. A land of freedom, far from me. Wake up while the bait is still in your mouth. Free yourselves from this trap and run to me, but you won't. For it is easier for you to stay in your stupor than it is for you to shake yourself into reality. I will shake you in order to wake you. I will remind this nation that I am. Many will die and their cries will fill your streets. Many will perish, and their blood you will see. But you won't care, as long as it isn't near your dwelling. But I say unto you, a perverse nation, I will bring these things out in the open. There'll be no escape from seeing what is coming. You ask, what is this bait and trap of the enemy? I tell you, it is the deception of your false prophets, who I didn't send. That is the bait and the trap. You believe the lie, America. You believe the lie, my church. You think there's no judgment for the weight of sin. You think there is a reprieve merely by the words of man. You don't know me. Though I desire for you to know me and my truth, you refuse to listen and learn of me. You've rejected my peace plan. You embraced a false plan that will lead you to sudden destruction. Very powerful message. Very pointed, but absolutely the truth, and has been confirmed not only by the prophetic and the watchman community that is out there, but it's right before you in the Word of God. And I'm going to preach this to you this morning. The title of the message is called The Bait. The Bait. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, The Bait. Jeremiah chapter 12, would you go there? And let's preach this thing this morning. Jeremiah chapter 12. No surprise that we're headed into the book of Jeremiah. But he said the bait. America has taken the bait with the false prophets and the false narrative that everything is well with us. And because we have taken that bait, our soul has been poisoned, and we find ourselves living in a land of deceit. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Now you're going to see here in a minute that Jeremiah goes between talking to the Lord, lifting up his heart and speaking the things that are within his heart, to prophesying and declaring the word of the Lord for the hour in which the nation of Israel was living in. So watch this. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of the judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? In other words, Jeremiah says, God, I've been prophesying, I've been declaring all of these judgments, all of these things of righteousness. I've been declaring to the nation the sin that was in the camp. I laid it out very plainly. I risked my life. I was made a fool. I stood before people who mocked me and they jeered me and they came against me even with violence and all of these things that I did according to your work. And I ask you, Father, in complete honesty and humility, what about them, and what about their sin, and what about the judgments, and what about the dealings that you are going to produce to them in the form of judgments, and how you're going to correct? God, what about the little ones? What about the innocent ones? What about the blood that cries for mercy? You see, Jeremiah was wondering. He was not laying any type of accusation unto the Father, but he was wondering, where are the judgments? Where is the righteousness of God in a perverse nation? He wasn't becoming weary, I believe. I just believe he was like us today, who watch the sin cascade over our city streets like open sewage. We watch lust continue to increase on our television screens and movie screens. No matter the exposure of those who are caught as predators, we still see the explosion of lust in our country. And we listen to the headlines and we wonder and we say, God, when are you going to deal with this? When are you going to deal with the blood that cries out for your mercy and for your judgment? When, God, are you going to deal with the craziness that deals and plays out in our country? When, God, when will you deal with this? You ever thought that in your mind? I speak to many prophetic people and those in the remnant church who love God, and we wonder in our hearts, though we're not looking for vengeance, and though Jeremiah is not asking for vengeance, he's just wondering, Father, when will the cup tip over? When will the scales finally be tipped to the point of no return? And so he asks this as we ask it. And we say, God, when is this ever going to find a place of righteous judgment from you? Watch in verse 2. Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. In other words, God, you've allowed America to be planted in this land. It's a land of the fruited plains. It's a land of plenty. It's a land where you can get on YouTube and make $1 million and have zero talent. Help me, somebody. You can get on any type of reality show as long as you show enough skin and give what everybody's looking for. You can find yourself a star. But he says, thou hast planted them. And they have what? Taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. You ever wondered that in America, where people that walk in unrighteousness and evil begin to prosper? They begin to grow and see all kinds of blessings around them while you work your fingers to the bone and you work hard in your labor and you live right and you do the right thing, but yet those that live unrighteously seem to prosper. Isn't that the way it seems to be? Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. So Jeremiah says, I'm looking, Father, at this picture of the plastic corporate commercial church. I'm looking at the world and seeing their unrighteousness. I'm seeing both priest and prophet. I'm seeing both person and politician. I'm watching them that are rooted in unrighteousness, and they say that they love you with their mouth, but their heart is far from you. But yet they seem to be prospering. You see, Jeremiah felt like we do sometimes about life and about ministry and how life seems to be unfair and we can't understand. God, when are you going to deal with these things? Again, I question sometimes the depth of sin and the harvest that the unrighteous are receiving. I cringe when I think how far we've gone as a nation, but yet I don't see the fullness of God dealing with it. And there's a reason, because God is a God of mercy and God is a God of grace. But I'm telling you, and what I'm going to finish telling you prophetically, is the time has run very close to the end of that mercy and of that grace, that God is going to deal with this nation in a heavier hand, and it is going to get very, very nasty, if you will, in the coming days. And God speaks to Jeremiah about that. Verse 3, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried my heart towards thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. In other words, Jeremiah says, Lord, you know my heart. You know my heart has been to prophesy what you said. You know my heart has been to declare, no matter what anybody says, anybody around me, I don't care if it's my own brethren, I don't care if it's the own organizations around me and denominations and all these things. I have said what you said to say, and I know what is going to happen, that slaughter is going to take place. I know what's going to take place according to your divine will and your word. And Father, I step out of the way. I step all of my cares and concerns and my issues and wonderings and just trying to figure it out and all the questions that I may have. And I say, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe that is where we are today. We're in a position where God is dealing with this country. He's dealing with the prophetic voices. He's dealing with us in the remnant church, telling us to step out of the way for what is about to take place. Of course, we do pray for mercy, and we do ask for God to be merciful in the midst of judgment. But there comes a time when we say, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, verse 2 talks about them being planted. It talks about them being spoiled. I can't think of another nation in the world that is more spoiled than this country. I can't think of another nation that has been blessed, as we say. But you know what? It's more than blessings. We are a people that has been spoiled. You see, blessings, when they are rightly used, turn to other blessings, and more people become blessed, and nations become blessed, and the gospel is preached, and wonderful things begin to happen. But when the blessing is not accepted and grateful by those who receive it, not thankful by the heart to those who receive it, it becomes spoiled on the vine. And right now we're living in that hour and that age whenever this nation has become spoiled with all the things that we have received. Just look at today at the Stupid Bowl. Oh, excuse me, the Super Bowl. Super Bowl will be played today. It surely is a Stupid Bowl to me. When you look at the idol worship that takes place in our country, and I know there will be those that get mad and want to throw their helmet at me. But the reality is this, we have become a nation of worshipers of entertainment and sports figures. We have come to a place that we would rather go to the arena to watch this thing called sports rather than to come to the house of God or go to an arena to hear an evangelist preach the gospel. Right now, all across America, we'll have Christian, quote-unquote, churches that will celebrate the Super Bowl. They'll watch it right after service, if they even have a service. They'll watch all the commercials and all the craziness. They'll watch all the drunkenness and all of the satanic rituals that will be done during halftime. Hello, Justin Timberlake. And all the other demons and all the other little imps that'll be running around in front of the television screen. But yet we will run home or stay in the church, whichever, whatever Babylonian church you're a part of, and you will sit there and you'll watch this particular idol worship right here in America. It's become a money-making scheme. It's become a god to America. Can I just give you some statistics as I begin to preach? Listen to this about the Super Bowl. And by the way, you need to pray for mercy. There's a lot of prophetic words about the NFL today. There's a lot of prophetic words about judgment coming. There's a lot of prophetic words that possibly this is a day of reckoning for America. I do not know. All I know, it could be any day. All I know is you can wake up and your life be changed forever. And so we do pray, as we prayed already, for mercy in the midst of judgment. But listen to this. And this statistic has to settle in for your mind for a minute, because I'm preaching against this feel-good gospel this morning. I've got a long way to go, so you just got to hang with me. I should have wore a pair of pads and a helmet on this morning, but I'm going to tackle some folks today. But I'm preaching against the false Hananiah spirits that have lulled the church asleep, thinking that everything is just fine and that we can go to the altar of Baal, we can go to the table of Babel, we can go to that place of unrighteousness and put our feet underneath the table for a moment and partake of it while everything seems to be going okay. When the reality is that we have become a nation of idolatry. I read a report that says gamblers will make $4.8 billion off of this particular Stupid Bowl. $4.8 billion. Honey, that's called gambling, number one. Number two, that's filthy liquor. That's money that has been used for unrighteousness. $4.8 billion. And I promise you that many bets will be put on credit cards just like Christmas time. You see, when we look at all these numbers of the economy that are really false, inflated numbers, most of the numbers that show things moving interstate-wise and throughout the nation has to do with borrowed money and credit. We've never been more in debt as a nation and as a people, but yet we're in debt and we say everything's fine with the economy because of the stock market. Honey, that ain't right. That is craziness, but you're listening to the false narrative. Listen, if I am in debt more than I'm taking in, I'm in debt. I'm just going to take this jacket off. We're just going to go ahead. We're going to deal with this thing early. We're going to deal with it right now. Is anybody here? Let me get a swig of water. Now I feel like I'm in a football game. I'd have Mike just run up here with a squirt bottle. He'd do it, wouldn't he? Is anybody here today? You ain't up squirting me. But listen to me, I'm about to blow a gasket up here, because the reality is $4.8 billion spent on gambling. And the fact that is we are spending it through credit, then we have somebody stand up and tell us a bunch of numbers and say that we're doing fine when we're in debt. If I'm in debt and I'm not bringing in enough money, I'm still in debt. I'm still in trouble. The only difference between us and the government, we can't print money. Go ahead and try to print money, Slick. See what happens to you. You can't do it. But they can do it. So they can lie to you, and they can entrap you, and they can entice you. And then the false prophets, the Hananiah guys and gals, can get up and say, see, honey, let me tell you something. The reality is we are in deep trouble financially. We've not learned our lesson since the last crash. We're still acting stupid with our money, and especially those in the house of God, because we don't have prudency. We don't have wisdom. Why would I go borrow a bunch of money and put myself into far more debt and further into debt when I can pay the thing off with cash? Is anybody here? I understand there's times when we have to do it. I got it. We got to make things work. But the reality is this. We're living in a place of idolatry where money has become the god of the Americans. $4.8 billion. Can you imagine that? Listen to this. In the Super Bowl, $82 million will be spent on chicken wings. Now, I'm so glad for our brothers and sisters around here that own chicken farms. I hope they're buying from us, amen. Buy Georgia chicken. That's all I can tell you. But $82 million on chicken, because we're going to have chicken wings. We're going to party down. I'm not against chicken wings. I ain't preaching against the little bird. But what I'm telling you is this, it's for one party, one Super Bowl, one moment. How about $82 million spent on saving children on the streets? How about $82 million blessing our veterans and taking care of those that are homeless? Some people hold back their tithe in order they can go to Super Bowl and Super Bowl parties. $14.1 billion will be spent on parties by Americans. I can't even fathom that. I go to the Dollar Tree when I'm have a party. Come on, somebody. You can get a big balloon for a buck. You can get a big happy birthday party sign for $1. Right now, I think I can do a party for about $10 plus pizza. Is anybody here? $14.1 billion for a party to watch a bunch of overweight men. Come on, somebody. To watch a bunch of people go out there and knock each other silly, get a concussion, carrying around a pigskin. Not one of them knows your name. They don't ever say, hi. They say, hi, mom. They don't ever contribute anything to you. Is anybody here today? We have gone from the place of just celebrating life to it's now worship. It's idolatry. When you spend that kind of money, 14.1 with a B, $1 billion on a party. Is anybody here? I may spend $25 on the pizza party this coming Wednesday. I'm going to do everything I can to make it 22. Is anybody here? Take off a couple of them pepperonis, lighten it up somehow, Mr. Pizza Man. We're going to work this thing out. Now watch this. $1.2 billion on beer. And another $1.1 billion on wine and other booze for a football game. Nothing's going to change your life in that football game. I won't get a raise by watching the football game. I won't get a healing by watching the football game. I won't have my yard taken care of by the football game. Ain't nobody going to deliver food to my pantry by the football game. Ain't nothing going to enrich my life by the football game. But I'm going to sit there, and they're going to sit there as idol worshipers watching this thing and this entrapment and all this craziness and celebrating a god of idolatry. You won't find me doing it. I used to be a part of it, but I'm not a part of it. Not in these days, not in the hour when God says that I'm about to flip the tables over in the house of God. I'm going to deal with the Hananias. I'm going to deal with all of the sin and craziness in my house. There ain't no way. I'm doing everything I can to run away from the world. I'm doing everything I can to live as close to God and holiness as I possibly can. And I know you're saying amen out there today. So I'm not a very good mathematician, but if I look at these numbers, that's a whole lot of money being spent. And I'm not even to the commercials yet. I'm not even to advertisements and hotels and restaurants and security and all that takes place for this particular stupid bowl. And some people say, well, you're being unfair and you're being hard. You're being harsh. It's my entertainment. It's something I like to do. Well, you ought to know that the word entertainment means entrapment. Is anybody here? If things were different and the time was different and these men and these women that are all part of this sporting, if they were more respectable to the things of God and country, then maybe I would give them a little more credit. But as far as I'm concerned, they're going to the way of Babylon, and we are watching nothing more than gladiators as Rome burns. So I have to say it this morning. It's godlessness in America. It's godlessness. And this is what Jeremiah was saying. He was saying, God, I'm dealing with this. I see all this sin, and I know your righteousness, and I said your word, and I'm worried and concerned because I watch over the landscape of my country and the nation, and I see they're doing exactly like you said they would. Watch verse 4. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed and the birds, because they have said, he shall not see our last end. All along the time of partying and all this craziness of celebration and idolatry, the world is fading around them, yet they continue to party and they continue to play the games and they continue to act as though nothing is happening. And Jeremiah is saying, Father, I'm watching this thing wither. I'm watching their fruit wither. I'm looking outside my window and I'm seeing the craziness that's taking place, but yet they continue to do what they do. He said, how long, God? How long until you visit this? How long until you say enough is enough? How long until the little ones have to suffer? I don't know about you, but it bothers my heart when I read the reports of what's taking place in our country. And I'm sorry that I have to give you the real state of the union. I'm sorry that I have to speak to the American people and those that will listen to me, the true state of the Union of America, the true state of our nation, the true condition of our nation. We are a nation that is going crazy. We're a nation that is living in madness. We're a nation that is killing not only the unborn, but killing the babies outside of the womb. We are a nation of decadence. We're a nation that is deprived and full of lust. He said, how long? Look at it again. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? He said, how long, God, are you going to let this happen? I'm crying out to you as a prophet, as a watchman, Jeremiah, saying, how long, God? Again, he's not acting like a vigilante. He's not acting like somebody that wants to see death. He's just trying to understand, God, the blood of the innocent is all around us. We're watching this take place in 24/7 living reality and living color. God, when will you release these judgments upon the nation? I believe that we're in judgment, but I believe greater judgment is coming, as I will show you. Just the other day in Ohio, a social worker was taking food stamps as bribes to look the other way while a family was beating and tormenting a 5-year-old boy. Let me repeat that to you today. A 5-year-old boy who had the government come, the people that were in charge to come watch over him to see how he was doing. The person was taking food stamps as a bribe in order to look the other way while the family continued to beat and to mar this 5-year-old boy. Well, that didn't take long because they killed the little 5-year-old boy and buried him in the backyard. This is America, folks. Let me give you the State of the Union. This is America today. This is what's going on. This is what Jeremiah is saying. How long till you avenge the blood of these little children? How long till because the church is not going to stand up. We're not going to hear this on your favorite gospel hour. You're not going to hear this on your Christian music hour. You're not going to hear this by our politicians. No, you only hear it from them when there's money to be made. When it's time to campaign and get them back in office. No, we need preachers to stand up and preach the truth and tell the truth and break the power of the Hananiah spirit. How long, God? How long to avenge this 5-year-old boy? In Massachusetts, a 5-year-old girl was burnt and her face was disfigured by those that were in her care because they were conducting a voodoo ritual in Massachusetts. Is anybody here? There's a devil loose in America. There's a devil loose in this country. There's a devil loose in your neighborhood. There's a devil loose in the White House. There's a devil loose in the church house. There's a devil loose in the schoolhouse. There's a devil loose in this nation. And somebody got to stand up against the devil and call the devil for who he is and call him out and bind him up and cast him out in Jesus' name. Voodoo. And you think everything's fine because the stupid bowl's on today. Everything's fine because we had a State of the Union and we were told all kinds of inflated numbers, and all that I could see and all that I could tell and all that I could smell was about money. I'm sorry. I just happen to be a preacher that's got something to say this morning. I care about the little 5-year-old boy who's dead, who's in the hands of Jesus now. I care about this 5-year-old girl who will forever have in her mind and etched within her spirit the power of demonism and Satanism right in her face. Cut her with blades and burnt her with fire right here in America. Wasn't down in Miami. It was in Massachusetts. There's a devil loose all across our nation. But yet we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to preach about it. We don't want to say nothing about it because we're too comfortable in the lifestyle that we live. Can I go on? I need a desk up here. As much stuff I got for you this morning. Amen. Watch this now. Don't be nervous. Watch what he says now. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? He's saying this. This is said to Jeremiah. This is said to you and I today. If what we're facing right now and the things that I'm reading to you and the things that I will read to you, if they bother us now as little footmen and little imps and little demons, wait till the horsemen come. Wait till the Nephilim come. Wait till the fallen spirits and the giants come. Wait till you see things that will cause men's heart to fail for fear because of what's coming upon the earth. You ain't seen nothing, honey. God is saying through Jeremiah, you're just dealing with the footmen. These are just small things that are taking place in our country, but yet they're huge in the scope of judgment. It's huge to hear of the children dying. And by the way, 13 more children have died of the flu. An incredible amount of people are perishing, and it hasn't even peaked yet. And more will come. That is for sure. But he says this, and if the land of peace wherein thou trusteth, then they wearied thee, then how will thou do in the swelling of Jordan. In other words, he's saying this. He says, look, you have a problem with what's going on with the horse, the footman. You see these small things and it troubles you in this so-called land of peace, this false peace that you think you have. It's a small thing in your mind, maybe, of what is accumulating around you, but there's coming a day when the horseman will come, and I want to be very clear to those listening to me right now that the red horse of the book of Revelation is riding. It is the spirit of war, and it's on this nation and around the world. It is out of its barn, and it's running wild. If you don't think so, you don't study, and you don't know what's happening around the world today. Just watch what's taking place in Syria. America was responsible for shooting down a Russian aircraft with our own weaponry through the hands of rebels. But you won't know that because you're watching pregame. You won't know that because you're a part of this gambling. You wouldn't know that because you're in a stupor. You wouldn't know that because you're still partying with all the Hananiahs around you, all the yes men and yes women, and those that do not dare shake your little world of comfort and luxury. No, my head is in the world. My hand is on the pulse. I'm listening, and I'm telling you what's out there. We are at the very brink of World War III. We've already been in it. It's already been taking place. We just haven't seen the total blows that are coming and the tables kicked over like a barroom fight. But we've been fighting for many years, in case you don't know it. Welcome to 2018. But watch what he says here. Then how thou do in the swelling of the Jordan. He says, what are you going to do when it comes harvest time? Now watch this. During the time of the swelling of Jordan, it was a time of harvest. And there would be so much rain and so much water that the Jordan would overflow. And when the Jordan would overflow, the lion and the beast would come out of their hiding places and they would go into the city and they would kill men and livestock. Here is the prophetic parallel of what God is saying through Jeremiah today. He said it's going to be a harvest of death. It's going to be a harvest of your enemies coming against you. It's going to be a harvest where you see unrighteousness everywhere, swelling over, kind of like the rain we had here, you all. I'm telling you what the word says. And so we're dealing with the footmen, but the horsemen are coming, and there is going to be a flooding of the Jordan to where we just see a cesspool of demon power and a cesspool of unrighteousness coming to our nation and being rampant upon our country. I just read to you where a 5-year-old was used in a voodoo ritual. Can I please say something to you this morning? That when I give you statistics and I give you understanding of what's going on, there's always more. And every time I preach or a prophetic person gets up and preaches or releases a word, you start seeing it come out of the woodworks. Because our job is first to put a light on it, it gets exposed, and then it runs. It multiplies. It multiplies like roaches when you turn on the light switch at night. How many of y'all Southern folk know what I'm talking about? You can't call Orkin on this one. This is the one you got to stomp yourself. This is the one you got to fight with the blood of the Lamb. This is the one where you bind and you loose and you warn people. But I'm telling you, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything that's about to take place in this country. The footmen, they're all around us, but it's going to increase. What's happening in Ukraine, and what's happening in North Korea, and what's happening in different places, Pakistan and India and China and on in Syria. It is just a precursor to what's about to explode. And all they're waiting for is an event. All they're waiting for is America to get into the game greater than we already have. Can y'all stomach me for some more time? Watch this, verse 6. I'm going to stay here anyways. What are you going to do? You can't go to the beach. It's raining outside. Can't go to the lake. For even thy brethren in the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. And God is speaking through Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is repeating, and he's telling us that there is a warfare that is taking place against Jeremiah, and there are those that would rather believe a lie, and there are those that would speak fair words to you and tell you that everything is just fine. I want you to know something, that for the majority of the church, they're full of liars. For the majority of the preachers standing up behind the pulpit, they're liars. They don't live what they preach, but they preach what they live. Is anybody here? We're living life upside down in America, in the Christian church, and also in our political realms. We have people that are full of lies. Matthew chapter 10, 36, Jesus said what? That you're going to have your enemies of your own household. There are going to be people that are going to say all kinds of things against you. There's people who come against me because I declare the truth. It's right before you. It's in black and white. It's in living color. But you refuse to receive it because you believe the Hananiah spirit that is around you, the good time rock and roller preacher that makes you feel all as well. Honey, if I didn't have these statistics to read to you, and if the current reality outside your door and your window wasn't so real, then I would say something about myself, then I would accept, and I would contemplate and say, wow, man, I might have missed it. But I'm telling you, we're giving you line upon line, precept upon precept, and you're watching it with the evidence and the real-time truth. But yet you're full of liars. You have liars all around you. You have people that want to tell you everything is good and everything is fine. Can I read to you another statistic? I don't know if I'm going to say this right. I'm going to spell it C-U-C-H-Olding. Cuckolding. You Google that and you look it up yourself, but I'm going to tell you what it is. It's sexual fantasies that are taking place in America that they're using now through psychology and experts in the form of relationships and marriage. And they're encouraging people to get together and have more than one partner in their marriage. They're using this and promoting it to embrace and to solidify your relationship. If you're having a hard time with your wife, just go ahead and get your neighbor involved. You think I'm crazy, but 58% of the men surveyed said they would love and fantasize and be a part of this. Well, one-third of the women agreed to it. Is anybody here with me today? We have gone insane. We have cast off all restraint. We're ready to hook up with anybody and anything in order to get our pleasure and our lust fulfilled, and so that we can be happy. Honey, you'll find happiness in Jesus Christ. Whether you're married or single or divorced, you'll find satisfaction and completion with God. You don't need nobody unless God brings that person into your life. And you get married and you make it right before the throne of God. Cuckolding, I think, is what it's called. Are you crazy? Are you insane? Has your brain checked out? Have you lost your pulse that you're going to go into this Babylonian pagan type of relationship in order to feel satisfied instead of just binding the flesh and the fruit thereof and saying, God, I give you my emotions. I give you the things that I think of. I give you all these entrapments of life. And I say, live holy within me, God. I'm grateful for my mate. I was the best you could do for them. Y'all didn't catch that. You know the story here at Ignited, but we have a lot of new friends and family a part of this church. But my wife told me, she said, if you ever cheat on me, I'll kill you and then raise you from the dead and kill you again. And I always said, you need to fear the second death. Is that what the Bible says? Well, honey, I'm not going to cheat on my wife because I love my wife and I love my God with all my heart. And I married my best friend and I will keep clean until the end. But I'm telling you, there's craziness going on in the house of God. We got preachers are divorcing their wives because they weren't good enough or had a mental issue, instead of loving them and holding them and blessing them and being true to the covenant that you made when you stood before an almighty God. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, preacher, for dispatching and disgracing your family. All because you want something new. Well, I got news for you. Everything new gets old. You just got to do maintenance on it, honey. Wish I had help here somewhere. It's ridiculous in the house of God. A lot of you listening support. There's people listening to me today that support. They support these guys and have no idea what they've been doing behind closed doors. Have no idea and say, well, he just went through an issue and he just went through a time and he just needed to get with God. No, he got with his secretary. I find it funny. You divorce your wife and the next thing you know, you married her the best friend. Wow, that was fast. No, honey, that seed has been in there. You lusted, and you probably did something you shouldn't have done before. Don't get me started. It's happening right here in America. And this is what Jeremiah is saying. This is what the Father is saying. He said, these things are going to come upon you. The Jordan is going to overflow, and demon power is going to come out. There's going to be ravishing of churches and ravishing of pastors and families and ministries and people in high places. Verse 7, I have forsaken my house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. You want to go ahead and sin? Sin. You want to go ahead and listen to the Hananiah spirits? You want to listen to those that are lying to you? You want to listen to those that are telling you that everything is fine while the nation is going into the abyss? Go ahead, do it. Go ahead and follow your favorite preacher. I'm not. As far as my house is concerned, as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord God with all of our heart. As everybody that's following this ministry, I love you and I will tell you the truth and I will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Though everybody leave me, I will still follow Jesus. I'll still follow truth. I'll still follow him through the flood of the Jordan. Verse 7 is talking about Ichabod. That's what it's talking about. Ichabod means the glory has departed. Talking about 1 Samuel chapter 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4 and chapter 14. Talk about the glory has departed. It has departed this country. It's departed our churches for the most part. I believe that 90% of the church has no idea where we are right now. And the remnant, the remaining remnant, still are not sure if this is true. I know it because I get emails. I know it because I talk to folks and they're still trying to figure things out. They're still trying to understand what time it is. It is time for the harvest of judgment and it will be the harvest of lost souls. The horsemen are out. You can't hear them gallivanting right now, then you need to get a healing in your ears. So Ichabod, talking about Phinehas, the grandson of Eli. And the debaucheries and the craziness that went on in the house of God. And they lost the Ark of God. We've lost the Ark of God, the Ark of the Covenant. We've lost the glory. Brother Mike, in the house of God, there was a time when a preacher could thunder and the glory would show up. And praise and worship and the very cloud of God would penetrate the house. But now we have showmanship. And we have 45 minutes to get the message and get out so we can circulate and bring in a new group so we can get the tithe and offering put into the storehouse. Instead of just preaching the gospel, no matter how long it takes. So Ichabod has been written upon the house of God. But we listen to these false Hananiah teachers. We listen to those that tell us everything's fine. Send your children to Babylon High. Send your children to pagan prep school. Send your children to these universities of devils. Send your children, send your beloved into these cesspools of institutions in America. And everything's going to be just fine. In Maryland, two women were arrested for child abuse on three children. 8 years old, 9 years old, and 10 years old. They were beating them, they were locking them up, and they were feeding them dog poop. Hey, Mark Taylor, these aren't systems. These are judgments on humans. These are humans that are being judged. This is judgment on America, and God is dealing with America right now. This is insanity, and everything's not fine, and everything's not wonderful in good old America. False prophecies of the Hananias. Let me read it to you again in case you don't understand English. Two women arrested in Maryland. Three children, 8, 9, and 10. Think of your cousins. Think of your children. Think of your grandchildren. Think of your neighbor. Think of the children on the school bus. And I told this church that when they were busted in California for all the craziness that was done with those children, you would hear more stories pop up in America, because this is the heart. It's not a one time and it's done. This is the heart of a sin-soaked, sewage-filled nation. You watch, it will come more and more and more, and you will be grievous to hear the atrocities going on in a trailer park right next to you, in a hotel room right next to you, in a vehicle that just passed you with tinted windows. If I didn't have the evidence, you could say what you want to say, but I got the evidence right here in my hands. You've got the evidence in your phone if you would stop looking at Facebook and read facts and find out about news that's going on. Oh, I don't want to upset my stomach. No, you don't, do you? I'll do it for you. They were arrested in Maryland, 8, 9, and 10. They were beaten, they were locked up, and they were fed dog poop. Do we have a heart anymore, America? That should be in the State of the Union. That ought to be out there right there. Aren't you glad your mom and daddy only whipped you with a belt? Some of y'all need to go apologize to mom and daddy. Wave at me if you got a pulse. Though they may be gone, just wait till you get to heaven. And the first thing you go after you see Jesus, go say, "Mom and Dad, I'm sorry, man, you were awesome. I thought not sleeping over my friend's house was like murder for mom and daddy." I'm making light of this because it's so gross, it's so deep, it's so disgusting. You didn't read about this in the 50s. Don't you lie to me. Don't you dare try to lie to the Holy Ghost today. We didn't read about this stuff in the 60s and the 70s. We barely heard anything about it in the 80s. If we heard anything, it was isolated, it was concealed. I understand that. But these things are popping up almost daily. And you're going to sit there with your Mark Taylor prophecies and the lies of Hananias and Eva. There's all kinds of names out there, man. I could throw a bunch of names out there. But this happens to be the one that everybody's buying into. And you know that it don't bear witness with your spirit. You know it don't settle with your heart. You know too much to follow that tripe. A friend of mine wasn't invited to a conference because I was on an interview and I mentioned Mark Taylor's name. So they said, "Well, you can't be a part of a main speaker. You got to sit on the side row." Because they hung out with me. I'm like, praise God, you didn't need to hang out with them anyways. They ain't never called me to be in their conference. I'd love to go. I'd be as nice as I possibly could, but I'd tell the truth. Don't try to figure out the person. But listen to this. Fed them dog poop and starved them and only gave them food and water, bread and water, and sometimes the food was oatmeal. This is America. This is the outhouse. We missed it by several thousand miles. This is the outhouse. I tell you, I don't know how much more I understand. And lying makes you just as guilty as these demons. Denying this makes you just as guilty as these demons. Acting like it ain't happening. I ask this church, and I pray that you do, because I do it every time I see a school bus. I plead the blood of Jesus over, and I say, God, protect those little children, and wherever they're going home to, may they find peace. I thought my life was rough. I thought my life was rough because I had to come home with a key wrapped around my neck and open up the door and take care of myself as a young child. My life was a breeze. Y'all here with me? And it won't be long, I will tell you another report, because it's going to come out again. This is exposure. This is God trying to first, number one, deal with the children and bless them and rescue them. My God, may they be cleansed in their minds. May they just know forgiveness and know the grace of God. I pray for these little children. May God just take a supernatural eraser and just erase all the craziness that they saw. Who knows what else they did to them? Besides feeding them this, they use electronic control devices on their bodies. Doesn't say what it is, but I can only imagine a shock collar or something to do with an animal. And some people are more offended because I called somebody out than the fact that I'm crying out for these young children and praying and asking you to pray for these young children and all that's taking place in America. This is absolute insanity. But you want to live your life like nothing is wrong. You want to just go on with your daily lives. You really want to sit back and watch the Super Bowl after this? You really can go home and entertain yourself and your flesh after listening to this? I'm not calling everybody to fast. I'm not telling everybody to go find a hole and fall into it. But I'm just saying find a place somewhere at some point in your day and grieve. Just say, God, have mercy on us. We will deserve our enemies coming into our camp doing what we're doing to our children. Listen, there's cultures overseas that would never, ever think of doing this, ever. Did you know the shooting epidemics in America are number one in the world? That no other country does what they do in the school houses like we do. Read it, study it. It's a true statistic. Just had another shooting the other day in a school. Now it's been classified as accidental, with a gun and a backpack. I don't know how a gun can shoot several people in a backpack, but it did. It's still the reality of America. You better plead the blood of Jesus over your children and send warring, ministering, guardian angels around them when they go out. Plead the blood of Jesus over your grandchildren and your nephews and nieces and so on. We're sick. Look what he says again. I have forsaken my house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of our enemy. We're in the hands of the enemy, y'all. We've been turned over to the enemy. There's bait in our mouth, the bait of Satan. There's a hook put in our jaw, and we're being led away into the abyss. We're being led away into Babylonian captivity. I know I sound like an alarmist, and I hope it is loud and clear today. That everything is not good and everything is not great in this nation. Ichabod is upon the nation and Ichabod is upon most churches here in America. A Texas man is accused of selling his teenage daughter for sex. A Texas man took his 14-year-old daughter and he sold her for $17,500. Is that the price of a soul today? Is that the price of a man to give up his own daughter, his own flesh and blood, his virgin daughter to someone that he doesn't even know and have her traded around? Excuse me, that was not Africa, and that was not somewhere in the Far East. That was Texas, you all. But everything's fine. Everything's fine because your team is going to play today. Everything's fine because a man stood up in the position of power in this nation and he proceeded to peddle his view of what America looks like and how everything is great instead of preaching the truth. You say he's not a preacher, but he's in a position to tell the truth. And to tell the truth is this, America, we're sick. Oh, but that'll hurt stock numbers. Well, I guess it didn't do too good, didn't help out on Friday. 666. Some say it was 665.75. I don't know what that means. But all I know is it's too close to 666. Well, that's just, you know, Pastor, I don't know. That's just numbers. And yeah, I know. It's the same deniers saying the same thing. Well, brother so-and-so said this, and sister so-and-so said this, and they had a vision of just lucky charms and happy days and going through the tulips. A Texas man just sold his daughter for $17,500. You can't even buy a good car for $17,000. Not making light of it. I'm making a comparison of the insanity of it. Is anybody still breathing? Is anybody mad at me yet? Hold on. My heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. Nothing but a bunch of whiners and complainers. Getting everything you want as a nation, but we want more. Getting everything we possibly could want, but we want more. We need more stuff. We need more things. We need more things from Walmart or from wherever you can afford. We just want more because we're not satisfied. The church is the same way. I was doing some research the other day and my wife was going through the channels and we ended up getting a Christian station on amazingly because we got them rabbit ears. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? We get more from Mars than we do from Anderson or Atlanta. But I was just working on a project, and I hear these guys, these preachers. It was two different preachers doing their infomercials, not preaching the gospel, but infomercials. And I kept hearing $65 for this and $100 for that and $200 for this DVD series, and everything's going to change your life. And I said, my God, that's what we've come to where we're selling the things of God in the house of God to entice men. I'm not saying that their messages aren't powerful, and this word is priceless. It's greater than silver and gold. But the insanity and the sounds that I heard of people trying to peddle the anointing, merchandise the things of God, I ain't got nothing to sell you all. I got nothing to sell you, but I got something to freely give you, and that's truth. You want to support it? I'm so grateful for it. Texas man selling his little girl. See, it doesn't hit the numb mind of America because our conscience has been seared with a hot iron. We've watched it on television. We've seen those themes in movies. We hear it in songs. We've read it in books. We've read it in a newspaper. We have become numb that doesn't even bother the psyche or the very soul of the American church. America. It's in a foreign country. This was America. This was Texas. Verse 19, my heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. Look what God is saying. This isn't Jeremiah. This is God anointing and speaking through Jeremiah. He said it's become a speckled bird. What does it mean to be speckled bird? It means to be colored. It means to have multiple colorings upon it. It means to be dyed with blood. It means that it's been tainted from its original purpose for heathenistic pagan worship. The bird wasn't to be speckled. But they took it and they brought it into the heathen gods and idolatry, and they changed that which was sacred and holy and made it common and unholy. That's where we are in America today. our church services, they're all about entertainment today, and see how long they can keep your attention and sell you stuff. I know it. I've been to many, many conferences over the years, and how they tell you, man, you better only spend 30 to 45 minutes. You want to wear the people out. You want to make sure you get your offering in there. You make sure you, you know, you offer this or that. Make sure it's the fair market value. Make sure all your stuff is digitized and make sure that all your stuff is glossy or they won't buy it. But God said it's speckled. Watch this. The birds round about are against her. Come, you assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. God says this, you bring in all these heathen gods, and you worship them in America, but I'm telling you, the birds around you, the neighboring countries around you will devour you. Why? This is what the Holy Spirit showed me. Because when you worship fallen and false deities and fallen spirits, when you worship them, they summon the other demons and they summon the power of the enemy and they come in to devour. We're summoning this of Satan here in this country. We're summoning him. We're calling him. We're doing incantations and all kinds of stuff and mimicking and calling upon demon power. It will happen today in the Super Bowl. It will. It's happening through Mr. Jay-Z and other Luciferians in the entertainment world, Lady Gaga and so on and so forth, who are causing these deities to be worshipped. But it's really summoning and calling and bringing demonic power to our country. It's happening before our very eyes. But we don't want to believe it. We don't want to accept it because we live in this false narrative and this false reality that because somebody got up on a TV station and a camera and somebody big named promoted them and they wrote a book and they did all this flash and dash upon the television and on your computer screen because you see that, you believe it. It's bait. And it's poison in your mouth and you need to get it out before it's too late. You know, there are some poisons that you can get out of your mouth in time. But the problem is, we're such a hungry people for deception, we eat it all. I need to be mindful to tell you that an Amtrak train crashed in South Carolina, and I'm asking for the body to pray, 2 dead and 70-plus injured. This is the third fatality for American Amtrak, the train company, in the last 49 days. That's a sign. That's a sign to deal with America. And we're coming off the rails with our insanity. And again, it is not just what's taking place outside in corporate and politics. It's happening in the church. Just the other day, it came to light of a youth pastor and his wife. This was about a year or so, maybe 2 years now, but it's now come to light through court proceedings that these two youth pastors were teaching their youth, the premarital youth, were teaching them how to masturbate and touch themselves in a way of pleasure. Did anybody just hear what I said? Youth pastors in a very large church, and it was hid under the rug until now, and now they're being sentenced and being dealt with because a mother had a back like a T-rail and said, no way, not in my house, no way in God's house. We're going to deal with this thing and they're going to spend time in prison. At least that's what I'm praying for. Listen to me, church. If that's one house of God, how many others are doing it? How many other preachers are doing it? Just the other day, a bishop was caught impregnating one of the youth. Listen to me, and a trailer house that he had on church property. Anybody see a problem with this? Wasn't even his own house, it was just another trailer house, and after they would play basketball or whatever, he went and raped and impregnated this young girl. you don't hear it on your favorite Christian television. You don't hear it on your nightly news. You don't hear it on the preacher that you promote. That's not an institution. That's a person. That's not a system. That's a young girl. That's a man. That's a church. That's a neighborhood. That is a black eye to the body of Christ. I don't know where some of y'all get your news. It's got to be Cracker Jack. A lot of people don't know what Cracker Jack is. Say, man, is he ever going to stop? Yeah. Yeah, I want to stop. Go to verse 10. Are you mad yet? Do you see the bait? Do you see the bait that the church is eating? The poisonous bait? When you go around and listen to your friends and preacher friends and family and co-workers, they say, oh, man, I tell you, man, things are awesome, dude. Things are going great. Got a little more money back in my pocket because of the tax thing. And, man, you know, they're rounding up a few, you know, illegal immigrants and this and that. Everything's a facade. It is a painted picture to keep you on the plow and continue going and trudging and trotting the American dream. It's a nightmare. This is what I got to give to my children. This is what you have to give to your grandchildren. A nation that has come off its rails. When we have our president who's been quoted as saying that it will probably take a national tragedy or some type of catastrophe to bring us together again. I'm paraphrasing, but go look it up. It's there for you if you don't believe me. That's the kind of prophecy I'd be scared of. That's the kind of foreknowledge I'd be worried about. But no, we're going to deny that. Well, you know what? What really was meant by that is, but there's truth in it. It's truth because I prophesied it and others have that it's going to come and it will bring the nation together, but not like you think it will. This next event that is coming, that will be way, way worse than 9/11. It will not bring the country together like you think it will. It'll bring them to their knees, and it will open the door for a new dimension of demonic in our country. Verse 10, and I'm going to leave you. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. How'd they do it? How'd the preacher do it? He did it by prophesying lies. He did it by not cutting around the roots and around the vines and around the bad parts. He didn't do what he's supposed to do and get sin out. He didn't cultivate it. He didn't tell the truth. And that's what's happening today. When you have youth pastors, like I mentioned to you, in the state of California teaching children to fornicate. And I've told you about a church in this area, and I won't repeat it, that teaches sodomy. National, televised, talented, quote-unquote, ministers of the gospel. I know it. The vast majority of the American church and a portion of the remnant do not believe that judgment is here and the severity that is coming to this nation. Verse 12. The spoilers are come upon at all places. They come upon high places. They're going to be in all places. High places, low places. Through the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord. Whose sword? The sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land even to the other end of the land, and no flesh shall have peace. All I can tell you is that judgment is coming, and judgment is here as the form of the footman. Judgment is coming as the form of the horseman. God has sworn it. He swore by his own self the day would come. All I can pray is for mercy in the midst of judgment. Listen to me, church. Don't take the bait. Don't follow the Hananiahs that are leading you into a place of destruction. You say, how, Pastor? How do I avoid it? You pray and you get in the Word of God, and discernment will be your shield. Heavenly Father, I've delivered your message to your people. I do pray for these young ones. God, I'm so sorry that I have to even talk like this to a national and international audience. But this is the reality of our country. I pray for mercy in the midst of judgment. And I pray, Father, for your people to listen to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. See you Wednesday.